Hello and welcome to the final edition of the Pro Football Weekly Fantasy Football Podcast for this year. It is championship weekend for most of your fantasy football leagues, and we are here to help you out. I am joined by my co-host this week, PFW Managing Editor. You can find him on Twitter at Arthur Arkish. It's Arthur Arkish. Arthur, are you ready to give the people what they want?
Well, I'm ready to do the best we can. Hopefully, if they're still coming back here for Week 16, they have gotten some good advice along the way. So we thank them for being with us again, and let's try and get them to the finish line.
All right, let's do that. Let's go through our game-by-game breakdown. We are going to start with the Saturday games. Indianapolis against Baltimore. It is a 41 over-under with Baltimore favored by 14 at home. Arthur, there's not a lot to like. From a fantasy perspective in this game. I'm not seeing a ton of plays here.
Yeah, I mean, I agree for the most part, but I do think that the Ravens have actually gained a little bit of traction lately, and I think there are a couple guys that you can confidently lean on with reasonable expectations, of course. I think Mike Wallace, especially with Jeremy Maclin injured, is a solid play. The Colts secondary is just in tatters, and Wallace has actually been relatively consistent over the past month or so. He's not a flashy play, but I think he's a WR3 with probably WR2 upside. And I like Alex Collins a lot, too. The Colts' leading tackler, John Bostic, won't be playing in this one, I don't believe. And Collins has been really steady except for last week versus Cleveland. This is a much better matchup for him. And in that, in what's likely to be a comfortable Ravens win, I think they probably ride Collins pretty heavily. What about you?
Yeah, I think Collins is the guy that I feel most confident about, and really Ravens D. But beyond that, I'm not. You know, Wallace is a guy that if you're looking for a WR3 or a flex, that's a guy I could consider. But I have the most confidence in Collins and the Ravens D.
Yeah, if nothing else, just the volume. Wallace is getting 10 targets last week, and he's been averaging about 7 or so points at least in about, 6 of his past 7 games, 5 out of his past 6 games. So people could probably do worse.
All right, let's move on to the final Saturday night game. Minnesota, Green Bay, and Lambeau. 41 is the over-under with the Vikings favored by 9 in Lambeau. Wow, Arthur, I did not expect that even a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, it's the Packers not only won't make their 9th consecutive playoff appearance, but now, they're 9-point underdogs at home. So that is pretty, it's staggering. And at the same time, it's not at all surprising. They go back to Brett Hundley. They're not going to have their best playmaker in Devontae Adams. And the Vikings just had their best defensive performance of the Mike Zimmer era last week. So when you add it all up, it's not going to be a pretty one, I don't think, on the Green Bay side of things, but there's a lot of good Minnesota plays for sure. Everyone knows about Adam Thielen. Obviously, he's been one of the most consistent players in fantasy football, and he just feasts on the Packers. I expect that to continue. Kyle Rudolph, super hot, touchdowns in 4 straight, and the Packers just showed a little bit of vulnerability, finally, versus the tight end position. And, John, I'll throw it back to you to see what you think, but I saw what Christian McCaffrey did to the Packers last week, and if I'm a Jerick McKinnon owner, I think I'm probably a little bit more excited heading into Saturday than I have been in recent weeks.
Yeah, I'm excited about either one of those Minnesota running backs this week. I think you can play either one of them with confidence. We know what Latavius Murray brings to the table, and yeah, Green Bay has been giving up receptions to running backs left and right, and Christian McCaffrey is certainly one of those guys. So I think I roll with Jerick McKinnon with confidence in this game. And a game, Minnesota is going to control, and I think McKinnon will still get his opportunities there.
Yep, first 100-yard receiving day in the NFL last week, and I expect them to try and build this lead with some help from McKinnon. It'll probably be Murray that softs it away, but I think McKinnon finds a way to build on what he did, and of course, Case Keenum, too. If he's gotten you to this point, don't go away
might
from
as well.
Him now. My QB8 overall, and the Packers' defense has just been an absolute nightmare against opposing passing games, so that should continue, too.
All right, let's move on to the Sunday slate. Detroit and Cincinnati, 44 is the over-under. Detroit favored by 4.5 on the road. Detroit still has something to play for. Cincinnati, not so much. So I'm more excited about the Detroit side of this thing, Arthur, but I don't have high expectations for this game, period, from a fantasy perspective. How do you see this one?
Yeah, I'm same boat. I think you can be relatively comfortable about the Lions guys who've helped you here, being certainly Marvin Jones, maybe Matt Stafford, depending on your QB depth chart. And of course, the sweet revenge game. We'll see if Marvin Jones can kind of take it out on his former team that is desperately short at corner right now. Outside of that, not a lot that gets me excited. There's just not enough clarity in the Lions' backfield. I actually got to be honest, I haven't seen injury updates on either side yet today. So, John, you may or may not be able to help us with Theo Riddick and Joe Mixon. And then I'll just ask you to weigh in on A.J. Green. It's been a disaster the past couple weeks, and now he gets a Pro Bowler in Darius Slay as he tries to get off the schneid.
Yeah, I feel bad for AJ Green owners because, you know, you probably, if you're still in and you've got AJ Green, you know, congratulations. But yeah, last week was a disaster, and this week really doesn't look any better. So again, a guy we talked about having to temper expectations. AJ Green is certainly one of those guys. Theo Riddick did practice in full. So, you know, we heard Amir Abdullah, you know, complaining about his lack of playing time, but I still don't feel all that confident in either one of those guys. On the Bengals side, Joe Mixon did practice Thursday and was a full participant on Wednesday as well. So he's actually in a good matchup. I do worry about maybe a little bit of a pitch count coming out of the concussion protocol, but if he's put together two good practices, he's a guy that I think you have to be in consideration in an RB2 flex type of position.
Yeah, we're in the same boat on that. I'd understand if Mixon owners have cold feet because it's largely been a lost rookie fantasy season for him. But I don't think you can look past the struggles of that Lions run defense against any types of competent offense, which I know Cincinnati hasn't been consistently. But if Mixon gets through a week of practice, I agree with how you sort of slot him. And as far as Amir Abdullah goes, I know it's it disappoints both of us, but I'm not sure he's going to follow suit in line of other former Lions who've been benched or demoted and have bounced back in a big way. I don't have a lot of comfort in Amir Abdullah at this point.
Yeah. All right, let's move on to the next game. Chargers at Jets. 43 is the over-under with the Chargers favored by 7 on the road. Arthur, how do you see this game playing out from a fantasy perspective? Chargers still have something to play for.
Yeah, they do, and, you know, it's kind of a usual suspects-type situation, except for now with Hunter Henry on injured reserve. I'm going to throw it right back to you, John. So you got a future Hall of Famer in Antonio Gates who suddenly they're going to need to be a little bit more prominent down the stretch, and he's going to get a couple rookie safeties in Marcus May and Jamal Adams. Is Antonio Gates in your list of streaming possibilities in championship week?
Yeah, if you were a Hunter Henry owner and now you've got to go get another tight end, I would definitely look towards Gates. Know that it's probably a touchdown or bust type of situation. He's not going to go out and, you know, get you 6 for 60 or something like that. It's a touchdown or bust, but the Jets have given up, I believe, the third most touchdowns to tight ends this year. So it's a good situation for Gates, and if you need a tight end because again you were relying on Hunter Henry and you can't do it anymore, you could do worse than Gates.
I think so too. Do you have any apprehension with Phillip Rivers? I mean, he was just rolling until he always seems to kind of come down to earth when he plays the Chiefs, especially at Arrowhead. I mean, he's got to be a strong bounce back candidate this week, I would think.
Yeah, I have no problem rolling Rivers out. I don't like playing guys in Arrowhead, and Rivers, like you said, tends to struggle against the Chiefs. So this is a much better matchup for him.
Anyone on the Jets side? It's been a disappointing stretch recently, obviously, for Robbie Anderson. And I don't know if there's the type of clarity in their backfield that we'd be looking for in such a high leverage week.
Yeah, and I don't like Robbie Anderson going up against the Chargers secondary either. So,
exactly. Yeah,
I think I'm out on the Jets. So let's move on to the next one. Rams at Titans, 47.5 is the over-under. Rams favored by 7 on the road. And Arthur, I want to pat ourselves on the back a little bit. Last week we talked about, you know, Robert Woods coming back off an injury. Is he going to be fine? And he slotted right back into the WR1 in that Rams offense just fine. And now gets a Tennessee defense that is a total pass funnel. So I think you can fire up Woods with confidence again this week, right?
Yeah, I think so. Yes, I like Woods. I've got him stacked first of the three, then Cooper Kupp. I think I've got Woods about WR23 or WR24. Kupp is around 30, and Watkins sneaks into potential flex play. I think the Titans may be without Logan Ryan in this one. Our listeners will have to check the latest injury report, but that would bode well for this Rams passing game. And I think you feel pretty good about these guys. Jared Goff is probably a low-end QB1. Todd Gurley, of course, is the best play overall all week. And I expect the Rams to keep rolling. John, what about on the Tennessee side? And assuming I didn't forget anyone on L.A.
No, I don't think you forgot anybody on L.A. This Tennessee team kind of looks broken a little bit.
We've been saying it. It sure does.
Yeah, and you know, you go on the road and lose to the Niners, and now you got to face a tough Rams team. I know you're back home and you still got something to play for, but from a fantasy perspective, that I don't see a path for a lot of these guys to have outstanding days. The guy I might have the most confidence in would be Rishard Matthews, just because he seems to be back in the favorite target status for Mariota. Delanie Walker's a guy that'll give you solid production most of the time, but I'm not excited about any of these guys.
Yeah, Rishard Matthews had his best game of his second best game of the season, and they've actually come now two of the past three games he's played in. So it's no coincidence that Marcus Mariota had his best game in a long time with Matthews going off. But that being said, I think you can trust the receiver, and I think you'd be kind of crazy to trust Mariota at this point because we just haven't seen a large enough body of work, consistent enough body of work for that.
All right, with that, let's move on to the next game. Cleveland at Chicago, 38 is the over-under, with Chicago favored by a touchdown at home. We know Jordan Howard is in a good spot in this matchup, so obviously, in a start-your-stud situation, play Jordan Howard. Arthur, I want to get your take on Josh Gordon. You know, he still doesn't have a quarterback to throw him the ball, but when the ball is within range, Josh Gordon can go off. Is Gordon a guy that you have any confidence in this matchup?
A decent amount of confidence. It's hard to have a whole lot in anything on the Cleveland side, obviously. Gordon's getting enough looks, at least, to where you're going to plug him in, and you waited and you grabbed him off waivers. So, yeah, I think you're comfortable with that. Actually, our guy Kyle Neighbors, who couldn't join us today, had a good staff from Pro Football Focus. Less than half of Josh Gordon's targets have been deemed catchable by Pro Football Focus. So Kaiser obviously struggling with the accuracy and the consistency. I think you roll out Gordon as a WR2. You're going to play Jordan Howard if you have him, but I don't love him. I mean, look at what the Browns did last week to Alex Collins and what they've done more often than not to opposing runners. So I don't feel great about Howard, but obviously you're going to roll with him. The best play in this one, John, might be the Bears defense. What do you think?
I mean, yeah, anytime you're going up against the Cleveland offense, you have to consider the opposing defense. And the Bears defense has been, fine from a fantasy standpoint this year. They're at home. They're favored. They should be in a good matchup here.
It's the giving season, and DeShone Kizer leads the NFL in giveaways. The Bears, it's weird, actually. I guess it's the defensive touchdowns that have kind of bolstered their overall scoring, because the Bears still aren't taking the football away, but somehow they've managed to get in the top 10 of fantasy scoring defenses. So, I like them a lot, and I guess that probably about says it all in this one.
All right, let's move on to a game that I really like from a fantasy perspective. It's Tampa Bay at Carolina. 46.5 is the over-under, and Carolina's favored by 10. But Carolina's secondary has really struggled against wide receivers, especially lately. Mike Evans is a guy that I think has turned things around recently. And with no DeSean Jackson, I think you see an increased target share for him against a Carolina secondary that has struggled. We know Cam has been outstanding in these matchups, especially against defenses that don't pressure well. Tampa Bay is one of the worst pressure defenses in the NFL. So I think Cam, Greg Olsen, Christian McCaffrey, there are a lot of guys in play for me this week. What's your take on this game?
John, to borrow one of your phrases, it's an absolute smash spot for Carolina, no question about it. Cam has been an absolute stud. And now he's got his guy back in Greg Olsen. I'm buying Greg Olsen as a nice, solid play in championship week after what he did to the Packers. I think Devin Funchess bounces back from what was a really, really disappointing game and what everyone assumed would be a big spot for him. And then, yeah, you know, McCaffrey looks good. I'm not sure if Levante David will be back or what's going on the Tampa Bay health side of things defensively. But isn't it pretty telling that we're having to talk about an increased market share for Mike Evans? That kind of says it all about what happened with Tampa Bay's offense this season, doesn't it?
It really does, and we should add Cameron Brate was also limited at Thursday's practice. So a couple of guys.
Wow,
Yeah, a couple of guys that might
be out. And O.J. Howard, of course, on injured reserve this week. So, yeah, I thought Brate might be a sneaky play, but they'll have to monitor that. So, yeah, you know, if Mike Evans hadn't had all the offensive pass interferences Monday night, he would have had an even much bigger game. And as it was a pretty darn good one for him and Jameis. So maybe they can build on that and get some optimism going in Tampa Bay heading into the offseason.
All right, let's move on to another game of some fantasy goodness. Atlanta at New Orleans, 52.5 is the over-under. New Orleans favored by 6 at home. Teddy Ginn remains limited at Thursday's practice, just FYI. But Arthur, I want to get your take on this game. It seems like another day for I saw a nickname for the New Orleans running backs that I really liked. I forget who it is, so I'm sorry I can't give you credit, whoever you are. Rhythm and Bruise, I really like for Ingram and Kamara.
Yeah, that's awesome. That I like a lot. Yeah, the R&B backfield, obviously a PB backfield too, both Pro Bowlers. And, yeah, I mean, it's a huge spot for them, of course. We saw what happened with the Saints offense after Kamara went out on that first series a couple weeks ago, a 2017 Falcons victory. So I think there's going to be a little bit of extra motivation to get both of those guys going. Remember, John, it was, I believe, Devonta Freeman who went to Twitter afterwards with a one-word tweet, H, to rub in that, frankly, lucky victory, in my opinion, by the Falcons. So, you know, there's not a lot of surprises here on either side, frankly, because we kind of know the fantasy script for both of these teams. But I have a lot more confidence in the Saints than I do in the Falcons because I don't know what's up with Matt Ryan, and I don't like this matchup for Julio Jones going up against a healthier Marshawn Lattimore this time around. What do you think?
Yeah, I have way more confidence in the Saints side, just like you. But I think, you know, with Kenny Vaccaro out now for the Saints, that's not a great thing for their defense. And I think that you know, maybe a guy like Mohamed Sanu is in play. I still like the Falcons running back, so I think this is an okay matchup from the Atlanta side.
Okay, yeah, I mean the point total makes sense. I don't anticipate another 20-17 finish. Saints without their middle linebacker, so maybe Devonta Freeman has another huge game in it. And we'll see if Sarkisian can get Tevin Coleman worked back into the rotation. So lots of fantasy implications, and obviously huge, huge NFC South implications on this one as well.
Okay, let's move on to the next game then. Not a lot of fantasy goodness here. Denver-Washington, 41 is the over-under. Washington favored by 3 at home. Arthur, I kind of like the Washington D in this game, and I don't love a lot else. What's your take on this one?
Well, do we know who's going to be starting for the Broncos or no?
Not at this point. Let me pull it up, see if there's been any news while we're taping. No, Paxton Lynch and Brock Osweiler again split first team reps Thursday's practice.
Okay, well, I'm acting like it really makes a difference. Like we're going to buy into that Brock Osweiler performance versus the Colts. Yeah, no, I'm with you. The Washington D is probably the safest play in this one. If someone's looking for sort of just out of left field flex play, I guess, championship week, I guess this is probably better for the DFS podcast. But I think Capri Bibbs is sort of interesting. Jay Gruden said he's earned more work after that touchdown last week, and Washington's been missing that element in their offense since Chris Thompson got hurt. So maybe that's a little bit of a sneaky play in addition to the Jameson Crowders and the Samaje Perines. But no one on Denver I really feel all that comfortable with in this one.
Yeah, I think we can move on. So let's do that. Let's go Miami, Kansas City. 43.5 is the over-under. Kansas City favored by 10.5. At home. And Arthur, all it took was for Andy Reid to give up play calling. And this Kansas City defense, which once looked a little broken, looks to be on fire again. And I've got confidence in pretty much any Kansas City weapon of that big four of Smith and Kareem Hunt and Kelsey and Tyreek Hill. How about you?
Yeah, I agree. I think the big story here is Kareem Hunt and just how re-energized he has appeared all of a sudden, looking like a monster. I think I've got him back up around RB3 this week, so I love that play. And I'm surprised, John, did it happen out of nowhere that Tyreek Hill is a top 8 fantasy scorer at his position? Because that kind of caught me off guard when I was doing a little bit of my research this week.
You know, he's had some really big days to help him get up there.
Okay. Yeah, it's you know, the Chiefs are another classic team where there's not going to be a whole lot of fantasy surprises, but you definitely feel good about their big four if we include Alex Smith in the mix. I'm not scared off of Kenyon Drake, though. I just think he's running way too well to be scared. I've got him, I believe, at RB12. And Jarvis Landry, it's not always exciting, but you know what you can count on just in terms of his workload. So those are the two guys I feel pretty good about and the Miami side of things. And then, of course, the Kansas City defense, I think, is probably a really solid play with Jay Cutler coming down to earth at this point.
Yeah, I have a really disheartening quote from the Dolphins offensive coordinator this week saying that they've used Kenyon Drake more than they would prefer with Damian Williams injured. It's really puzzling to me because Kenyon Drake's been really good. I would think you'd want to use him even more. But Damian Williams looks to be on track to come back, but I like you, Arthur. I still have confidence in Drake.
Yeah, I don't know what that's Clyde Christensen, I believe, there in Miami. And, you know, I get it that Kenyon Drake's not the prototypical size feature back, but, man, he's looked pretty darn good doing it all. So, yeah, that'll be interesting to see. That is a little concerning for sure.
Yep. All right, let's move on to the next one. Buffalo at New England, 47 is the over-under. New England favored by 12 at home. The one thing from an injury standpoint that we want to look at, Chris Hogan practiced on a limited basis Wednesday, so he may be back. I don't know really what that does to the New England offense. Arthur, do you have any idea if Chris Hogan's back, what that does for the Patriots?
Yeah, I don't know. It doesn't really move the needle all that much for me just because he looked so out of sorts last time out in the first game back. So I would not be overly excited about that. I'm going to throw it back to you. What do you think happens in Rex Burkhead's absence? Mike Gillisley have a chance to finish the season where it started, or are we only counting on Deion Lewis maybe even getting more work in this one?
We know what? We joked about this a month ago that we were going to be talking about Mike Gillisley for some reason, yeah. And all of a sudden the door is open for him. So I'm not risking my fantasy football season on Mike Gillisley. So I'm probably not doing that, but I will not be shocked whatsoever if Gillisley falls into the end zone 3 times.
What a huge range of outcomes. You can go anywhere from another healthy scratch to, like you said, 3 goal line plunges. So yeah, that might be a little more volatility than we're looking for in this one. John, obviously everyone knows they're starting him with great confidence, but I just want to point out, I've got Rob Gronkowski in my top 100. He is number 4 overall this week because of just not only his past couple games, but just his remarkable track record against Buffalo. It's pretty awesome. So everyone knew that, though, already. What about on Buffalo's side? Is there anyone here? I mean, of course, LeSean McCoy, but how confident are you in him building on last week?
You know, I have confidence in McCoy. I think his pass game involvement keeps him keeps his floor high. And if they're going to score, I think it's going to have to come from McCoy. So I have confidence in him. I have no confidence in anyone else on this offense.
Do you think it's a little bit of an offensive struggle for the Patriots, or do you think this is a blow-up spot for them? I kind of tend to think the latter.
Yeah, I think that all the ingredients are there for a blow-up spot. For the Patriots, and start your studs, obviously. So that, let's move on to Jacksonville, San Francisco. 42 is the over-under. Jacksonville is favored by 4 on the road. Arthur, I want to ask you, Blake Bortles has been one of the safest fantasy quarterbacks for the past month. If Blake Bortles got you here, do you continue that confidence against the 49ers?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, he was, if I can take 1 second to pat myself on the back, he won my bold prediction last week, and I never get these things right, but I did
nail
it. I did have him as a top 5 quarterback, and I believe he finished his QB5 overall. So we'll take the success when we can get it because there's a lot more failure. But yes, I've got Bortles as a top 10 quarterback this week. I think you feel great about him. I understand sipping the Keelan Cole Kool-Aid, but I'm going to go out on a limb and say it's a D.D. Westbrook week. I feel like it's kind of been overdue for a huge, huge blow-up from him. The Jaguars get Leonard Fournette back, so that's obviously huge.
So, yeah, John, while there's plenty of optimism on the Jacksonville side of things, I got to be honest, I'm a little depressed looking at the San Francisco part of the equation because Jimmy Garoppolo and Marquise Goodwin played a huge hand in getting me into one championship, and now they run into the Jaguars' buzzsaw defense. I got Marquise Goodwin all the way down at WR32, and Garoppolo is like a middling QB2 for me in a super flex league. What do you think?
Well, on the DFS podcast, Kyle Neighbors said Marquise Goodwin has basically entered DeAndre Hopkins territory, not from a talent standpoint, but he gets so many targets, he's going to get there on volume as far as putting in a decent day. So I think I've got a little bit of confidence of Goodwin despite the absolutely terrible matchup.
Yeah, I hope. I need to rely on him this weekend. But I think what separates those two, there's a bunch of things. But DeAndre Hopkins is a touchdown scoring monster, unlike Marquise Goodwin. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. I'm not sure he's got the strength to do what Nuck just did against Ramsey. But we'll see.
Yeah, Goodwin also didn't practice on Wednesday. Is dealing with a back injury. Yeah,
it doesn't help, obviously.
Yeah. All right, let's move on to the next game. Giants-Arizona 40 is the over-under, with Arizona favored by 3.5 at home. Not a ton of great fantasy options in this one, right, Arthur?
You don't think Eli's going to throw for another 430 or so yards this week, is what you're saying?
I don't see that happening.
Yeah, that was cool. It was an inspired Eli. But, yeah, that makes two of us a tough road trip. And, you know, two teams really playing for nothing. But it's still, you know, Eli's going to have Chandler Jones to contend with, maybe the best, one of the best defensive players in football right now. So, yeah, I don't feel great about anything here. Even an Orleans Darkwa type of play, Wayne Gallman eating into his look. So, it's about Evan Ingram and Larry Fitzgerald, and that's it. But I'm going to play at least confidently, John.
Yeah, that's all I've got confidence in. I mean, really, really desperate and injury monitor situation type of deal here with Kerwin Williams remaining sidelined. Yeah. Elijah Penny is going to get goal line work against a very beatable Giants rush defense.
All right, for our PFW podcast listeners, John, I will pretend for a moment that I know who Elijah Penny is. And with that, I read your DFS, Tom. I saw he's about 4.5 yards per carry in his first spot last week. So, yeah, you know, the Giants defense is beatable, but we'll just have to keep an eye on the injury report.
Yeah, that's a I need to get wacky and I'm absolutely desperate type of play, which I don't think you need if you're in the championship game. So with that, let's move on to a game that has a lot more fantasy goodness, Seattle and Dallas. 47.5 is the over-under. Dallas favored by 4.5 at home. Arthur, I want to get your take on what we can expect from Zeke Elliott in his first game back against the Seattle rush defense that suddenly looks pretty bad.
Yeah, you know, we're all guessing here, obviously. Zeke's played, I think it's 27. I wrote about this for the running back rankings this week. It's either 25 or 27 consecutive games heading back to his Ohio State days. So, or actually, it's got to be more than that. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's 47, something crazy like that. But we don't know what to expect in terms of him coming off a long layoff. All we can go on is what he did in the previous month prior to the suspension, and he was just a monster. I mean, he was blowing Todd Gurley out of the water for the top running back scoring rank. And you got Seattle getting KJ Wright back, but they've been worked over the past 2 weeks now by feature backs. And of course, Todd Gurley and Leonard Fournette before him. So, I think Zeke's going to get a ton of work, probably upwards of 25 to 30 touches. And I've got him as my RB7 this week. So I guess that means I'm fairly confident he'll slide right back into things. What about you?
Well, a little bit of news kind of as we're taping this. Left tackle Tyron Smith did not practice Thursday dealing with a sprained knee. So trending the wrong way. Tyron Smith is kind of the guy that makes that offensive line go a little bit. Yeah. But I still have confidence in Zeke just by volume. Like you said, I think it's healthy to expect about 25 touches.
That is troubling. But yeah, so we're in agreement on that. Zeke's going to be so busy because they've just, you know, they've been waiting 6 weeks to ride him, and they're certainly going to do that. What about the Seattle side, John? Do you expect to see a an angry Russell Wilson after one of the worst NFL days he's experienced. Dallas, not exactly scary defensively. They've been playing better, but I don't think they're going to scare anyone.
Yeah, that's not going to happen again for what Russell Wilson did last week. It's just there's no way to expect that happening again. If you have Russell Wilson on your team and manage to survive that and get to the championship game, I think you fire him up with absolute confidence this week. I wouldn't really consider going to anybody else.
He's my QB3 overall. And after that 42-7 blowout, Seattle's only been further humbled. They got fined $100,000 today for that horrible handling of the Russell Wilson concussion evaluation about 6 or so weeks ago.
Wow. Okay. Anybody else on the Seattle side you like? Jimmy Graham, decent matchup.
Yeah, solid matchup for Graham. Obviously, you're starting with, you got him. Doug Baldwin was one of the most disappointing fantasy players there was last week. I think you feel good about him rebounding against that young Dallas secondary. They've got they're leaning on a lot of rookies there all of a sudden. Although I guess they'll get Orlando Scandrick in the slot. Either way, you feel good about Baldwin. I got a top 10 wide receiver grade on him. And that's it. I mean, I think Dez Bryant probably stands back on the Dallas side, stands to benefit from Zeke's return too. But we kind of know about all the popular picks here.
All right. Well, let's move on to the Monday games then. Pittsburgh at Houston, 44 is the over under. Pittsburgh favored by 10 on the road. Arthur, start your studs and I don't really know what else on that game.
Yeah, I can just leave it at that too. I've got a bold prediction coming from that Pittsburgh Houston game anyway. So yes, obviously they are going to lean on Le'Veon Bell heavily, similar to last December. Now that the Steelers are without Antonio Brown, and I think those two young and hungry receivers are going to step right in and produce very well.
Yeah, I think Juju is a really good play this week. Houston side, DeAndre Hopkins, and that's about it, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think that you can have reasonable confidence in Lamar Miller. I know he was very bad last week. That game was, of course, an awful blowout, and maybe this one will be too, but it is back at home, and I don't feel like the Steelers have fully found solutions defensively without Ryan Shazier. So another, volume play, and maybe he finds the end zone, but certainly just those two on the Houston side.
All right, well, we'll close out the game-by-game breakdown portion with Oakland and Philadelphia. 47.5 is the over-under. The Eagles favored by 9 at home. I want to get your take on the Eagles running back situation. Is J.J. starting to look like maybe the guy there?
Yeah, I think so. I believe he is now in consecutive weeks upped his career, not his career, but his Eagles high snap percentage. And yeah, he's shown a little bit of juice. I've got him as my RB20 this week. There's still a little bit of uncertainty, but I believe he's made himself a play in the RB2 discussion. And, I don't think Nick Foles throws 4 more touchdowns without an interception, but that Raiders defense doesn't pose any real concerns. Exactly. So it's another soft landing, I believe, for Foles and frankly, all those Eagles skill guys in another big spot for them. John, on the Oakland side, it's a tough watch. I don't know what to say. Marshawn Lynch looks great again, in my opinion, but they don't know how to use him clearly. And I'm not sure what Amari Cooper's status is. Michael Crabtree had 17 targets last week. So keep an eye on those guys. But again, it's just if you can bear it, I'm having a really difficult time watching the Raiders offense these days.
Yeah, it looks just really bad. Derek Carr is really struggling to get anything going. Crabtree seems like the only safe passing game option there. And Donald Penn, the left tackle, requires foot surgery. He'll be out for the year. So another blow to the Raiders offensive line. So, yep.
Yeah, no doubt.
With that, let's move on to our final bold calls for the season for week 16 here. Arthur, what is your bold call for this week?
Yeah, I alluded to it. I'm going right back to Pittsburgh, or I guess I'm going to Houston, where the Steelers will get the first time out without Antonio Brown. You mentioned Juju Smith-Schuster, a great play. I'll take it a step further. I've got him ranked as my WR12. But I'm going to say Juju finishes as a top 5 wide receiver. And I think Martavis isn't too far behind. I have him ranked as WR17, but I'm going to say he sneaks into the top 15 as well. And the best draft and develop wide receiver team in the NFL does just fine without the best wide receiver, at least for 1 week.
All right. That's a nice bold call to close it out. Mine is Mike Evans is a top three W. He's a top three wide receiver this week, I think, with Deshaun Jackson likely out. The amount of targets going his way and Carolina's struggles against wide receivers makes Mike Evans a really, really nice play this week. So with that, we will close out the PFW Fantasy Football Podcast for this season. For Arthur Arkish, I'm John Solly. Best of luck in your championship game matchups.